you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Wednesday, November 1st, 2017. Happy November. May this month be a grace-filled month with you as we'll continue with the message on grace alone as preached this past Sunday by Pastor Jason Schiffo of the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet. We'll begin exactly where we left off yesterday as he preached about a 40-minute message on Sunday. And this is the third part in a 5-part series on the Reformation. So next Tuesday and Wednesday, it'll be on faith alone. And then the following week, all glory going to God. Now, for those of you that tuned in for the Monday's edition of Mark and Friends and felt like I gave you a big teaser on this God sighting, this prayer of Jabez answered on our behalf, I promise you come Friday, Lord willing, I'll have Pastor Jason Schiffo in the studio along with Marianne Offenstein to talk about this new ministry work that God launched on Monday, and we've been very busy beavers around the Great News Radio Center and out in various communities making new inroads with this ministry tool that God has gifted us with. So please make plans to join us this Friday to celebrate with us what God is doing, and we trust it's going to be a super blessing for so many people, thousands of people in the days ahead. So what is grace alone? We can only stand before God by His grace as He mercifully attributes to us the righteousness of Jesus Christ and attributes to Him the consequences of our sins. Jesus' life of perfect righteousness is counted as ours, and our records of sin and failure were counted to Jesus when He died on the cross. To lay some groundwork, let me read from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and let's see, I'll read verses 1 through 10, and then we'll continue with the message as began yesterday by Pastor Jason Schiffo on grace alone. And time willing, I'll close out the program with a great song called God's Grace Still Amazes Me by Ernie Couch and Revival. Reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, He appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most who are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then He appeared to James, then to the apostles, and last of all, He appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Here's Pastor Jason Schiffo emphasizing to us that it's all about God's grace, the unmerited favor He has given to us.
You see, from the elevated heights of grace alone, that's why we went through the Old Testament and looked at Leviticus and we looked at Isaiah and we looked at the amazing sacrifice and the power of what God was willing to do, the extent that God was willing to go to save you. From the elevated heights of grace that I've tried to bring you to in our short amount of time, I want you to see how God goes from big and narrows it down to you. It says here that Jesus appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then to more than 500 people at one time. And then what does He say? He gets awfully personal. He says, and then to me. You could take the me out of there and put your name. And then He also appeared to Jason. Because friends, grace always gets personal. Grace gets personal. We sing about it, don't we? When we sing John Newton's song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch, what? Like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. This is the kind of grace that Paul's talking about. Grace alone, the amazing grace that turned Paul around in a dramatic way on the way to Damascus. With the brightness and blindness, he began to live these words that John Newton penned. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. How many of you is that your testimony? I'm going to tell you it probably is every single one of you. But friends, I want to tell you something. Because I've run into it again and again. And sometimes, maybe even in seasons of my own life, that it's possible to sing all the songs that are amazing and have grace in them, but be totally unamazed by the grace of God. And let me tell you, when we're not amazed by the amazing grace of God, by His grace alone, we disgrace the grace of God. We treat it as though it were by our right, or even worse, by our merit. But what I want to show you is that Paul doesn't do that. Paul says, in light of God's grace, in light of the fact that it gets personal and comes to Him, what does he say? For I'm the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. How many of you, when somebody began to tell you about Jesus Christ, you began to go through the litany in your mind of why you're not good enough? I'm honest. How many of you still to this day pull that list out occasionally and begin to go through why you're not good enough for the grace of God? You know what, I just want to tell you something. Because there are those who may try to condemn you for that. The Apostle Paul would tell you, I see it as normal. I see seasons where I struggle. He was willing to pen it into a book that God was going to keep forever. Now I just want to tell you, if you're putting yourself out there, Paul sure did it. But one of the interesting things about Paul is, for those of us who read Paul, revere Paul, and love Paul, we might even want to argue with this verse, wouldn't you? Well, I go, wait a second, Paul, you're the least of the apostles? How many books did you write? I've never written any books. You wrote some books that God kept in His book, and He's keeping them there forever. Unworthy? If I could only write like you, Paul. And the impact and the power in which you reached out and touched people's lives, the boldness in which you proclaimed the gospel, the means in which you were unwilling to lay... Listen, the man gets dragged out of town stoned, gets back up and goes back to the town that just stoned him to keep proclaiming the gospel. If you're crazy, like crazy perseverance, that's it. And so there are those of us who might try and argue with a verse like this. The problem is that Paul doesn't. He lays it out there. He says, I am the least. Paul believes those words that we started with from Ephesians chapter 2. Paul would say, you don't know. I was dead in my trespasses. I followed the course of the world. I was following the prince of the power of the air. I was part of the sons of obedience. I lived for the passions of my own flesh. I was a child of wrath, Paul says. I'm in that category prior to the grace of God. Paul says, but the grace of God changed everything. And friends, we have to look upon the grace of God in the bigness that it is. And please stop trying to define it in our own terms. Instead, Paul didn't do that. Paul lived in the tension of what he didn't quite understand and what he didn't quite know. And in there, he just worshiped God. This is your grace. That's all I can do. This is why verse 10 is a beautiful declaration of dependence on the Lord that Paul has. Because as we go on, Paul's going to say, for by the grace of God I am what I am. He says, I don't understand it all. I feel unworthy at times. I feel like I'm not up to the job. But I am what I am. And thanks be to God for His grace. Thanks be to God for what He has done. He says, by the grace of God I am what I am. And grace alone, the unmerited favor of God, the gift of God, the riches of God, was given to us in the moments where we were broke down and we were destitute, when we were absolutely undeserving. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 tells us, while we were still enemies, Christ died for us. The goodness of God's grace covering us while we were still sinners, not when we were cleaned up, but while we were still sinners. When we get done with the message, we're going to sing this hymn, and I love it. It says, Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured where the blood of the Lamb was spilt. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all our sin. Grace that is the unmerited favor of God that exceeds any ability we have to define it. Ephesians tells us that's so that we can't boast, because it is all of God and from God. James would argue in his book that all good gifts come from above. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 7, what do you have that you did not receive? Both are telling you that all good things come from God. All of it comes from God. All of it. Paul says, but by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace towards me was not in vain. Friends, the grace of God for you in your life was not in vain. On the contrary, he says, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach so that you might believe. Friends, grace is not simply leniency when we've sinned. Grace is not just a pardon. Grace is a new standing. Paul says, I am what I am. And some of us have been goofed up on that one because we watched a little too much Popeye when we were kids. But Paul says, I am what I am, which should beg to ask us, what are we? 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, aha, the new has come. And yet there's still, I believe, there's some people in here who might say, yeah, but for me? That's why the Bible says anyone. That means Cephas, anyone in the 12, anyone in the 500 brothers who were there, anyone who is here this morning, anyone can have a new standing by grace alone and become absolutely new, standing in a new place and in a new position with new eyes and a new heart. Behold, the new has come. And what's the most important thing about that newness? See, I talked about how we seem to misdefine things and how we missee things and misapply. The first thing that newness brings us is that we see Jesus differently. We see Him as Lord, God, Savior, and King. And we love Him and we trust Him in ways we never did before. We sense His presence. We understand on a very base level His power. And we desire then His direction, because we don't quite understand some of the other things. And one of the most powerful things is we begin to live for His praise. And friends, this is different than how you used to live as sons of disobedience and children of wrath, following your passions and following your desires. See, the first thing grace does is makes us see God differently. And this grace that came to Paul and came to you, it is not in vain, because it's supposed to make a difference. It's supposed to make a difference. Listen, you can't purchase grace. Only God can do that. You can't earn grace. Only God can give it. But when you receive God's grace and you see God's grace rightly, you begin to pour that out into your life as a powerful evidence that you stand in grace alone. And when we don't do that, people don't see grace evident in our life. And then we wonder why when we share the gospel, they don't respond to the God of all grace, because they don't see grace in effect. Do you live out God's grace like this? See, Paul is challenging us with the notion here that grace is supposed to change our lives, that it changed his life. We know a little bit about what his life was like before and after. Was it absolutely different? And it's supposed to change our lives like that. It changed Paul's motives, it changed his actions, it changed what he was trying to accomplish, because he was becoming what God's grace was producing in his life. He says, it was not I, but the grace of God that is in me. And Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, after the dead in sins and trespasses and sons of disobedience and children of wrath, it says this, for by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your doing, but the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one might boast. No one. If you survey the history of the church writ large, over and over again, what comes out is people trying to earn God's grace. Whether it was at the Reformation or whether it's today, you will find it over and over and over again. People thinking, if I just do enough, if I just do a little more, if I just do, God will then do. Friends, God has already done what needed to be done. He already did it. It's already been here by grace alone. Thinking about this all week long, as I think about all the people that I interact with throughout my week and my month, how grace alone takes a broken man and turns him into a husband. How grace alone takes a spiritually dead person and makes them a spiritual leader. How grace alone repairs a broken marriage and makes it ministries to other broken marriages. How grace alone can take the addicted and the destitute and make their testimony a shining light to hopeless people who are addicted and destitute. How grace alone can take a wayward son and bring him home and make him a preacher. And it's God's grace alone that does every single bit of it. It's as if you got a call one day from the bank and they said your mortgage has been paid off by some anonymous donor. Simply out of the blue. And you're like, what? What are you talking about? Listen, they paid your mortgage off not because your uncle works at the bank, not because your sister-in-law and your family has banked there for their entire lives, not even because you're awesome. It's absolutely it's unexplained, and it is grace. Grace alone. And friends, if I did anything today, I hope that I just hammered the nail, that I want you to stop trying to define God's grace in your terms alone, because they are so small in light of what God has done. Instead, I want you to start living in light of God's grace. Start living in the grace alone that saved you. I love that right after 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17, it says, you are a new creation in Christ. The old is gone and the new is here. It says this in verse 18. All this is from God. As I was finishing off this message yesterday, I had the Pandora on. And right as I was getting to the end of, you know, just fine-tuning some things, that song came on, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. You know the song, right? Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. How many of you today is your heart out of tune? How many of you today need to get the strings back in tune? Need to get the thing back in harmony? Because what I heard when I heard that song was, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Tune my heart, Lord, please, that I might sing Your grace. And one of the things that I think we do to ourselves when we define grace in lesser terms is we detune our heart not to hear the song of God's grace. And today, more than ever, you need that. Join me as we pray. Father, we thank You that there is a fountain filled with blood, and it comes from Your Son named Emmanuel. And then when we rightly define and visit that fountain, our hearts are tuned to hear Your grace, to hear that You have done all of what was required and needed and asked nothing of us but our faithfulness and our obedience, to hear that grace and to respond to it. Father, I know two things. Number one, I know that there are people here this morning whose hearts are desperately out of tune and cannot hear that grace of God. And I know, Father, also, that there are people here this morning who are scared to death to say that. And so, Father, I pray this morning that by Your grace alone, that You would convict those people, that they can come up and get around some brothers and sisters and they can get themselves back in tune, because desperately, Father, we need to hear that all of it was a work of Your grace. All of it was a measure of Your love. All of it. And that in that moment, we are more than willing to surrender whatever is necessary, that our hearts might be tuned to sing Your grace. And we pray these things this morning in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, Amen.
Amen and amen. Live in the knowledge of God's grace, His unmerited favor to you today. He loves you. He cares for you. And it's all about the grace He's extending to you. Let me close out with a portion of a special song titled, God's Grace Still Amazes Me, by Ernie Couch and Revival. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.
Unmerited favor, unmerited love, God's grace so amazing, He sends from above. Unmerited mercy and blessings untold, God's grace is abundant, restoring my soul. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. When I think how His mercy and love set me shows me the way. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. When I think how His mercy and love set me free, mercy and love set me free, God's grace.